tomorrow. Okay. So we're up to Chavzan Rebeis. Two lines before they get white. Okay. Tanar Bonan. Maisa Belezer. They want to tell the story of the Belezer. Before we had a Maisa with the Beloy who went to visit the Belezer. Here's another story of the Belezer. Belezer is a key player in this whole two blot, or a blot and a half, as we say. But anyway, Tanar Bonan Maisa Belezer. Shashovas Begolil Ha'elyon. So Shabbos implies we're talking about Shabbos, right? He spent Shabbos in the Galil, the Upper Galilee, the Galil Elyon, b'sukosol shel Yochanan b'Rabbi Eloi, in the sukkah of Yochanan b'Rabbi Eloi. Is that the son of the same Rabbi Eloi that was in the previous? It's not clear. Okay, but he spent time at B'Kisri, in a city called Kisri. Okay, v'amilah b'Kisaryon. There were a number of different cities. There's the famous Kesaria, Caesarea, today, you know, you can see on the coast, sort of traveling from Tel Aviv to Haifa up the coastal road. So there's Caesarea, you know, the fancy hotels there and golf course and plus the ruins of various amphitheaters and so on and so forth. A pleasant place to walk. But there were more than one place that had the name of Caesar in it because it was a tribute, to Caesar. So there was some city. The details are not that pivotal for us. Right off the bat, let's take a look at Rashi. How could Rabbi Elezer, he was the one who said you're supposed to stay in the sukkah and be in the, you know, not travel any place, and he got annoyed with Rabbi Eloi who came to visit him and so on, and he said Mishabeach ani esatzlanin, right? In this way, I admire those who are a little bit lazy, stay home, and so on and so forth. Now he himself went. He said, Rashi says, if you're thinking of that kasha right away, which you should, don't worry about it. The Gemara will deal with it later. So we'll deal with it later too. I just wanted to show you that Rashi alerts us with previews of coming attractions. Anyway, in the first wide line, v'higia chama l'sukkah. The sun was shining into the sukkah, and apparently it was getting hot. Okay? So, amar lo, mahu she'efros aleo sadin. This Yochanan, Rabbi Eloi, asked Rabbi Elezer, can I spread some type of sheet or cloth or something over the top of the sukkah to lessen the impact of the sun? And that was the question. Ma'och efros aleo sadin. Okay? As Rashi says, ma'och efros aleo sadin, letzel, to create a little more shade. Right? Shalot tishuzucha ha-shemesh, the sun shouldn't beat down on you. Okay? Mi asu mishumosif al oil arai b'shabbos olam. Rashi tells us right off the bat here that the issue here is a Shabbos issue. Mosif al ohel arai. You're contributing, we'll see what that means, you're adding on to a fixed structure, okay, and we'll see what that's all about. That's what I want to do today. Okay? So that was the question. Am I allowed to put some sort of a covering over the sukkah to prevent the sun from beating down, to create a little bit more shade, or is it a problem of mosif al ohel on Shabbos, creating some kind of ohel on Shabbos? That's the question. So Amar Lo, on the second line with the word, Amar Lo, Ein Lecha Kol Shevet B'Shevet Yisrael Shalom Hamid Menu Shofet. Gave an answer, a strange answer. He said, there's no Shevet from which one of the Shoftim, you know, from Yeshua Shoftim, the book of Shoftim, did not come. That's what he said to him. Very strange answer, obviously, that question. So Rashi tells us, an Ein Lecha Shevet, he sealed the Dabar Acher, he changed the topic, changed the subject. In other words, he didn't give him an answer to this question. He brought up a different interesting thing. He just ignored the question, sort of. But actually, come on, Shalom Omer Dover Echad Shalom Shomei Pi Rabo. The Gemara is going to explain later, but Elezer didn't want to answer the question, even though he knew himself what he thought what the din was, but he had never heard the din specifically from his rabbi. So he didn't want to say with any definitiveness what the halacha was. So he changed the topic. Right, he began to talk about something else. Okay? Offhand, this something else had absolutely nothing to do with anything. It was a totally random topic. We'll see tomorrow with Hashem, some of the Mepharshim tried to work out exactly when it was a little bit related to the question, but we'll learn it simply, as Rashi said, he sealed the Dabar Acher. He changed the subject, completely random, different topic. What did he say? There's no Shevet from which it didn't have a Shofet. Rashi said, meaning Shofet, Moshiach es Yisrael. O sin Shehoyu, Mishameis Yoshua v'ad Shmuel, Shemashach Shol l'melech. Right, in between, from the time of the death of Yoshua until the appointment by Shmuel, as of Shol, as the Melech, they had the period of the Shoftim, right? Judges, that's the second book of the second Sefer of Nevi'im, Mishonim, and so on. So the book of Shoftim basically goes again with the death of Yahushua until the time Shmuel was the last of the Shoftim, because Shmuel was Shmuel anointed Shaul as the king. And Tarashi gives a partial list. Yahushua himself, Mephraim, Ehud, Mibinyamin, Gidon, Mibinasha. So that takes care of Bnei Rochel, Harib Bnei Rochel, right? So Mephraim, Menasha, and you have Binyamin. Shimshon, Midon, Barak, Barak, whatever you know, Mikedesh. Okay, Barak Mikedesh, it's called Barak Mikedesh, came with Kedesh, Minaftali, right? That's Barak from Dvorah, that story, right? Barak, whatever you know him. Harim Bnei Bila. Ibtson, there's a shofar called Ibtson, Zeb Boaz. According to our tradition, that's Boaz. Boaz had another name, Ibtson. Boaz, of course, is known from Megillas Rus, but, and there is from Shev Yehuda. So Ibtson was the other name. So Ibtson, Zeb Boaz, Yehuda. Eli HaKohen, right? We just read about on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, he's a Kohen, so he's Milevi. Okay? Okay, Ptolemy Yisosar, Alon Hazvulon Mizvulon, Elam Ufurashim. These are the ones that are explicit. Obviously, Rashi did not cover all 12 shvatim. There are a number of shvatim which you can identify because there are certain shoftim we don't know. We have no way of knowing who they are coming from. So Rashi says, Aval Asniel, v'yiftach, v'shamgar, v'yar, v'abdan lo yodati, shmos shvteyan. Okay? Umiruven, shimon gad v'asha, lo matzos mefurish. These shoftim, I don't know, we don't have any psukim to indicate what shevi they came from, and there's certain shvatim we don't have explicit in the text. Okay? So you match up. Okay, match them up somehow. So all the other mafarshim that we're going to see, he said, well, we look in over here, we can find this one came from that shevet, that one came from the other shevet. Anyway, bottom line, he says every shevet had a shofet. All right, third line. Meanwhile, higia chama lechatzi hasukah, when the sun reached, you know, that was beating down even more, the shadow, you know, but the sun was beating mamish into the half of the sukkah. Amar lo, mo shefer soleh asad. And he asked him again, now can I put a sheet over the sukkah? Amar lo, ein lecho shevet v'shevet yisrael shaleh tzom en neviim. Once again, Abelezer changed the subject. He said, there's no shevet from which a navi didn't come. Before we talk about shoftim, now we're talking about navi. Okay? As Rashi said, higi achama mispashetas miskarevas etzom, right? The angle of the sun was closer. You know, but the angle was such, it was now, you know, beating down even harder. Anyway, so he brought up this subject. Now there's no Shevet. Okay, and he says, Shevet Yehuda, Binyamin, Hemedu Melachim al Pinavim. The Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin, they had the kings who were anointed by the Nevi'im. As Rashi says, Melachim al Pinavim, Shaul of David al Pishmuel. Right? Okay, good. Anyway, okay, so he changed the subject again. Now, higia chamal amargaloso of Shobelezer. Okay, when the sun was now in a position was already hitting a Belezer, his bottom half of his body, I guess where he was sitting, again, has to do with the angle, with the lower part of his body, his legs. So then, notol yochanan sadin upir, then he didn't ask anymore. He took the sheet and he spread it over. Okay, notol yochanan sadin upir. So, Hifshur Belezer Taliso Lachora Biyotzo. So Belezer got his jacket, a talis, whatever, his cloak or whatever he had. Okay, put it on. Biyotzo walked out of the sukkah. Now, why? So Rashi says Biyotzo Shelo Rotzo Lahatir Sadover. He did not want to imply that he agreed that his mutter, because people will say afterwards, "Oh, well, you know, I saw somebody do this, and Belezer was in the sukkah, he didn't object, right?" Again, he didn't want to say it was Mutter, he didn't want to say it was also, he didn't want to weigh in on the subject, it seems. Okay, but he knew that if he would stay there in the sukkah under those circumstances, so then people will say, or even the Yochanan would say, listen, I remember last year, Belezer was over, we put a sheet over, he didn't say boo. So therefore, Belezer didn't want to leave any impression, not that it was usher, but he wasn't, as Rashi says, Shelo Rotzo Lahater Sadover. Yeah.
But why would Rashi say this if the Gemara clearly says otherwise?
What do you mean? So that is Rashi. The Rashi is going on something else. It's going on why he changed the subject, why he wouldn't answer. In other words, he left. Let me as well look at the next Rashi. Lo mipnei b'dvarim, mashi siul adavar acher, that which he, you know, moved the subject to another matter. Lo afligah hemenav lidchosu shalol amdo Torah in this kavan. Okay, he wasn't not interested in teaching. El Shalom Adav, he didn't want to say anything from, you know, that he hadn't heard from his Rebbe. Okay, that was what, that's what's going on here. Anyway, it's a very interesting issue. Unless it wouldn't answer a question, kept changing the subject. He didn't want, again, very often if, you know, that's a position the rabbi or Talmud Chacham is in sometimes, you know, like we have, unfortunately, you know, came the Shatzer Karbon and Shraman and the Michalu, right? That was the whole story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, right? And we threw him out, so the Chacham over there didn't say anything. So since the Chacham didn't respond, everyone assumed they thought it was okay what he was doing, right? We find another time, other occasions in the Gemara where non-action or not speaking or not saying anything or not doing anything implies that you think it's okay. And, you know, you don't think it's okay, or if you're not sure. So therefore, that's why he left the sukkah. Okay. Now, what exactly is the entire issue here? So, if you take a look in the source, in the sheets, so one of the there is a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Beis Mud Beis, source 3. Okay. Habone, kama yivne liyachayv. Habone, Rashi is right away in the fourth. Habone, sh'omru babas melachos, kama yivne. One of the 39 forbidden melachos on Shabbos is bone. Okay, building a structure. Okay? So the Gemara asks, the Mishnah, that's the Mishnah in Kol Gadol, that's the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel, which lists off all the 39 forbidden melachos. One of them is towards the end, and one of the last ones is bone. Okay? So the Mishnah later in Shabbos, that Mishnah is Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah Kuf Bei, he says, Habone Kama Yivne V'Yechayv. So how much do you have to build? Will you put one nail down, or one piece of wood, or what's the minimum? Okay? And to which the Mishnah answers, Habone Kol Shu. Yes, anything, Kol Shu. All right, any type of binyan is also on Shabbos. Now, we know as a general rule that what's also on Shabbos is what was done in the Mishkan, right? Anything which is done for the Mishkan purpose, the purpose of construction of the Mishkan, in some say not just the construction, but the operation of the Mishkan, that's exactly what's also on Shabbos, right? Because in a couple of places in the Torah, if you look carefully, in the middle of the, let's say you have Parshas Truma and Parshas Tetzaveh, and the beginning of Kisisa, which deal with the building of the Mishkan. So right at the end of that, it says, Shomrei Yisrael Sos Shabbos. Right? We should not think that the Mishkan is more important than Shabbos. Don't think, or the beginning of Vayakel, when they carried out the Tzivui to build the Mishkan, right? Begin Vayakel Moshe, do work for 6 days, and so on, so what's the juxtaposition of Shabbos and the Mishkan? So we all know, how do we define, again, I'm saying the obvious, but how do we define what's, we're not allowed to work on Shabbos? What's work? So work is not necessarily a strenuous activity. Okay, if I were to move that piano from the back of this room to the front of the room, that's pretty hard work. I'm not even sure I could do it myself. Okay, probably not. It looks like a pretty big piano. Okay, but if I did it and I had to pull it by the leg or move it, it would take, afterwards it would be schwitzing, you know, it would be very difficult. That would not be one of the 39 melachos on Shabbos, even though it's work, right? But if I flip the light switch, that's a melach on Shabbos. Right, I mean, maybe not with the fluorescent bulbs, but okay, but probably even a regular bulb could put a circuit. That was no work. So obviously the definition of work on Shabbos is not, you know, a matter of how strenuous the activity is. A different definition, but one of the things the Gemara tells us is that whatever was done in the Mishkan, it's really Gemara, it's there in Shabbos, in Daf Ayin Gimel, it's in Baba Kama, the first Amud, okay, Daf Beis Amud, whatever was important in the Mishkan, whatever was done in the Mishkan, that's what's also on Shabbos. The logic is that since the Torah tells us you're not allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbos, right, that's the Mishkan on Shabbos, and Akal Moshe. I might have thought that Binyan Beis Hamikdash should be done on Shabbos. You could have made such a case. We're creating, you know, a Makom for Kodesh Baruch Hu, whatever. What could be more noble pursuit than that? But no, the Torah tells us Shabbos comes first. And again, all of Darshan, there's the realm of Kedusha Zman, the realm of Kedusha Makom. Shabbos is Kedusha Zman, Mishnah is Kedusha Makom. So, you know, you can't suspend one for the other, etc., etc. So plenty of drushes, which I'm sure many of you have heard. So, but anyway, the idea is that what was never done in the Mishkan, that's what you can't do on Shabbos. And the logic is, well, if I can't do this activity for something so important as building the Mishkan, I certainly can't do it for myself. So I'm not allowed to do the 39 activities. I'm not allowed to do these 39 activities even for something so important as building the Mishkan. I certainly can't do it with my own means. So that's what's also on Shabbos. So sometimes the Bavli, you know, pretty much all the time the Rishonim tries to identify with each of the 39, where exactly was that in the Mishkan? What activity was that in the Mishkan? Because again, the Mishkan, Daf and Gimel Shabbos, gives you a whole list of the 39 melachos. So where was Tzoveya? Where was Lisha? Where were all these things in the Mishkan? You know, because it has to be modeled after the Mishkan. So the Yerushalmi asked the same question by Binyan, here in Source 5, Parag Zayin Halacha Beis. Ma binyan hayav mishkan, where exactly was the binyan, a bona, you know, I mean, overall the structure, but again, you know, what maisa of the construction of mishkan was called binyan? She nosin kroshin al gabe adonim. They would put snap the beams into the silver sockets. The adonim were these like sockets, basically. It was a square-shaped box that the inner part was hollowed out. So you put each of the crushing, the beams had an extension, so to speak, in that exact shape of the adonim, and it fit right in. Right? Picture when you're playing with blocks or with ticker toys, something like that, it fits right in, right? So that's exactly what's going on here. That's binyan. So no steam crush on Gavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavav solid. I mean, I'm not saying you can't take it out, but it won't fall out by itself. It snaps in, so it's solid. Okay, Moshe explains. Again, this is per Zayin, this is a Shabbos Halacha Beis, so Nosin Kosh Magav Adonim, Benasa Binyan, okay? And the Binyan is done. Now, we said in the Gemara in Shabbos Af Kufbeis, the Mishnah said, Habona Koshu. So look now at 7. Again, this is still Shabbos Kuf Beis or Beis. I just digress with Yerushalmi to show you the Makor for it, where it comes from, in terms of the Mishkan. But getting back now to the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Beis or Beis, Omar Shmuel, Ametzadeh Desa Evan Chayev. You take a stone, okay, like a brick or a stone, and you mitzadeh, you position it strong, you know, solidly in the ground. That's what Rashi explains. Look at 8, and Rashi will go back and forth. Hamtzadeh seven moshiva umitzadeh ad shemisyasheves bekarkois yisod yisod abinyan yofeh. Basically, like it's a foundation stone, right? You put a stone, it's going to be on the corner, cornerstone, right? But you kind of wedge it, put it into the ground solidly, right? That's already called, then you're already chayev, okay? You're already chayev, that's what Shmuel says. Mitoshu, mitzara, mechina, takhtel, mashirvar, it's chayev. Vafilu lo nosantit, even if you didn't put the cement in yet, havibone kosher lai. Havibone kosher, okay? So I started a little early today. So I started 11 today, I'm sorry. Oh, the guys aren't here. People are traveling, so we have to travel there. Okay. So, yeah. So very quickly, since we walked in, we read the next sugya in the Gemara. I have to go over it, but the next sugya in the Gemara talks about Abelezer visiting somebody, and it was hot in the sukkah, and he wanted to know if the person could spread a sheet over the sukkah to keep, you know, the sun from beating down so hard, to create a little more shade. So that's the sugya in the bottom of Chosan of the Beis. So Belezer, who was the visitor, didn't answer. Each time he changed the subject. He brought up something about Nevi'im and Shoftim, which we'll talk about. But anyways, so I'm just going over a little bit about it now. The Malach on Shabbos called Bona. Okay? The Pasha says this was on Shabbos, because right, the last of the thin lines anymore says Tana Bona. Ma'is Belezer Sheshovas Begola. Probably the way Pasha says it was the Shabbos of Sukkos. Right? It was, and it wasn't like this he attached. Well, it was in Eretz Yisrael. Right, so the Friday was Chamad. So whatever it was Shabbos of Sukkot, and that's when this question came up. So we're going over now the issue of bonus. So bonus is one of the third amalachas. So Shmuel says in Shabbos, called Beis and Beis, source number 7, Omar Shmuel, Mitzadeh Zeven, you put a stone in the ground solidly, okay, that's already chayav, even though you didn't put any cement yet, okay. Rashi says in 8, Afilo Santina, Vibona Kosher, that's exactly what the Mishnah meant when it says, you chayav Kosher. Right, anything which is the first step towards the building is putting the cement and putting the foundation, and on the putting rather the bricks, the stones, and on the top of the stones you're going to put the support the building. Of course, you're eventually going to put in cement, you're going to keep things in place. But the first step, the kol shehu that the Mishnah refers to on Kuf Beis and Beis, as what Shmuel says, is just kind of wedge it solidly into the. If I just drop something on the floor or on the ground, that's not bonus. But I put it in a strong way. That's good. That's a problem. That's chayav and Shabbat. Okay, and Rashi says, the Eish Mekayin came below teeth, because in certain circles, you don't even need cement there. For those, you have a big corner stone, you put it down on the ground, it's solidly wedged into the ground. That's going to be strong enough to support. You put one on each of the four corners, and that's going to be strong enough to support. You don't need cement necessarily. You can do without those. So that's already the first step towards bonehead. That's the violation of Binyan and Shabbos. That's what Shmuel says. Okay? So the Gemara asked, now back in 7, Mesvei, Echad no sinus ha'evan, Echad no sinus ha'tid. Okay, one person puts the stone down, the other person puts the cement down. Hanosin is a tit chayav. Okay, the one who, as Rashi said, implying, okay, Hanosin is a chayav, but Hanosin Evan Potter. So it's a steer to Shmuel, because Shmuel just said what? That as long as you wedge the stone into the ground, you're already chayav, you went out the cement. Yet the Mishnah says, the Brisa says, Echad nosin of Echad nosin, they should both be chayav. Right, why is the guy who put the stone, according to Yushmul, why is the guy who put the stone not chayev? Right? Avalosin and Evan Potter, Rashi says it means, right? So Gemara says, well, Tameh, one second, you can ask right there. Amos Sefer, the Sefer of that Brisa says, Yossi Omer, Vafilu Hela Biniach Agavidimus Shel Avonim Chayev. Even if I put a stone on the top of a pile of the Dimus, like a pile of stones, Rashi says, Dimus. Okay, shuras avne choma, right? The row of stones that make a wall. Alma b'hanocha b'alma chayev v'afilu lo tzidei. That sounds like all he did was he put it down. Shmuel's lashon was hametzadei desevan, which we explained is what, like he wedged it into the ground. He put it solidly like a foundation stone, right? But the statement of now the Brisa says even just putting it. I'm sorry. Putting the stone down, you would not be chayev. But then the other opinion, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is, no, even if you put it on the top, you didn't wedge anything, and it wasn't in the ground, just put it down. Hanocha. Apparently, Hanocha b'amacha, filoti v'adifah v'shmuel. So, the whole thing doesn't make sense. Right? I mean, so the Gemara answers, Ela tlosa binyone havu. Okay, there are three steps or stages to the lacha of binyon. Tosa, metzia, v'ilah. Okay, the bottom, Tosa is Tacha, Mitzia the middle, and Ilo is the top. Okay, Aliyah, same word. Tosa, Mitzia, Ilo. Tosa, Ba'i Tzidude Be'afra. Putting a stone on the bottom requires, to be Chayav on Shabbos, requires you, like Shmuel said, Mitzadeh, to put it in solidly, to wedge it in tight with the dirt and so on. Mitzia, the middle stones, Ba'i Nami Tina. You need the cement, the Tina, like the teeth, the cement. Okay? You need the cement as well. And you love Hanocha Ba'alma. So all three sources are correct. In other words, it depends where you're talking about, where you're putting this brick or this stone. At the bottom, in order to be chayav, has to be wedged in, but it doesn't need cement. Okay? In the middle, you only chayav put in the cement, because it's not going to stay otherwise. Right? On the top, everything's done. You put some, the finishing touches, so to speak, and you don't even have to cement it in, nor do you have to wedge it in. That's already called Hanocha ba'alma, that's already chayev. So that's how the Gemara answers the problem. This is not a steer. All right, let's read the Rashi. Tasa, I read that already. Elav kusha, tlosa minyanahav. This is not a steer. You have different shittas. They're not arguing. They're just talking about what stage of the binyan are you up to. So the dinim are different depending on what you're doing. So elav kusha, tlosa minyanahav. Tasa, yisoda choma tachtis. Shemoshivin avonim alaretz below teeth mitzvah to offer. That which is going to be the foundation which you're going to pile all that stuff on. All you got to do is wedge in. That's already called bonehead. Kol atzmo eno letzadis evan shetesh v'shavu lo sitel akan ol kan. You offer some of the but the whole idea should stay strong and stay shy, not you know, not wander, but what's the word? Move. You know, shouldn't you know, shouldn't wiggle. Shouldn't otherwise the ability will fall down. Right? Should be sturdy. Right? So. You know, shouldn't shake. So, and the offer the dirt around it will hold in place. That's what Shmuel was talking about. Shmuel was talking about the bottom stone. Ubraisa, the Braisa, was talking about mitzia, the middle stone. Kola binyan kulo shmini esora shuriyona boi nami tina imatzidu. The rest of the wall, the major part of the building, requires cement or whatever the material is. I'm saying cement, but whatever the material is, holding the bricks in place. Right? They're not going to stay there by themselves. You pile a few up, they're going to fall down. The bottom won't fall down. But if you keep piling up, they're not going to fall down unless you put some kind of agent, you know, a glue type of agent, a cement type of agent, right? And Ad Shura, Boy Namitina, but Elah, the very top, Dimus Elyon, She'ein al gabav odi, gabav odi was the very top thing, which is not supporting anything. It's the top already. Nothing's going on top of it beyond that. Okay, so you know, choshev no tzav no tzad. It doesn't matter if it leans a little bit, it moves a little bit. Big deal. It's not supporting anything. Okay, so hilchok ba'anoch ba'amasai b'vuhum. So the bialsi, that's the bialsi. Okay, so that's the sugya. I just wanted you to see it. Okay, that's the sugya. Basic, one of the basic sugyas of bona and Shabbos. Kuf beis and beis. Even putting a stone, any type of binyan is not allowed. Now, there was a gemara later in Shabbos. Kuf lam and ches amar aleph in Shabbos source line. All a keva lo yaseh, we also chayav chatas. When do we say this binyan? When the ol, the building, okay, is a binyan keva, something fixed, and you're not allowed to do that. If you did it, you're chayav chatas on Shabbos. Okay. However, what if what you're building is just a temporary structure to start with, not intended to be permanent? And so we were talking about, right? That's the one kuf beis. You know, different stages, but your basic purpose is to build a structure that's going to last, right? But and that's what the Gemara says on Kuf Lamed Ches, right? Oh, like Keva, oh yeah, I said, I'll have to, oh, like Keva. What if it's only a temporary structure to begin with? So that's the Sugyan Beitza, source number 10. Lamed Beis, or Beis, and Beitza. I'm of that one. So Avonim Shel Beis HaKisei, Mutar Tzadad on the Beyond. Avonim Shel Beis HaKisei. So before there was indoor plumbing. Okay, you had indoor bathrooms and so on, or were accustomed to those. So you know that they had certain areas out in the field somewhere where people had to go to use the bathroom. It wasn't exactly a, you know. So sometimes people, you know, would just be an opening or, you know, a hole in the ground or whatever. So for privacy purposes, okay, people would put up stones so you couldn't, you know, a pile of stones just so you could sit behind it for privacy purposes, right? So I'm not one. Avonim shel beis hakisei. Okay? Rashi, or it's talking about the stones themselves you can sit on to relieve yourself. So Rashi says, "Avonim shel beis hakisei," he's going to bake along beis and beis. Avonim gedolos shem tzaras aliyos kimin moshe b'chalul, like an empty place to sit with an empty middle. V'yoshan b'sadat b'makom yuchal beis hakisei. People sit on that the field. Okay, so that's a Rashi. I think others know the way I said it for privacy. Either way, so you're allowed to do that on yontif. Beis is thrown on yontif. Maseches beis is maseches yontif. You're allowed to build something on Yom Tov. Eise Rabbah of Nachman Ein Makifin Shtei Chivas Lishlos Shtei Chavas Lishlos Lain Sakadera. Okay, you're not allowed to build on Yom Tov. You know, it's also a place to put the pot. In other words, you have two sides and a top. Okay, you're going to put your pots down. That you're not allowed to put on Yom Tov. So why is this any different? So I'm already shiny house machine the Ka'aver Ola. Okay, and Rashi explains as a key point, they cover all the sheish of Gag, Avahacha Lech of Gag. The structure which Rabbah quotes to Rav Nachman, that was also in Yom Tov, is when it has a cover, you know, and it's built as a like this desk over here, that has a top. Okay, that's not allowed. But the Beis HaKisei thing, there's no top, there's no roof. Okay, there's no Gag. Amalei Rabbah Zot Rav Ashi, Elameata, Bona itztaba b'yomtov de lo avid ahala hachinam et ashori. Okay, and itztaba Rashi says is kisei shel binyan levenim etidus, some kind of a platform or a chair, you know, that's made out of bricks and cement and so on. Is that allowed in yomtov? Okay, is that allowed in yomtov? I mean, that's like some kind of a platform to sit on. Right? Is that allowed in Yantav? It should be allowed. It's a permanent structure. So the Gemara answered on Malay, exactly. Hasam binyan keva asur tar. No, that platform that you're talking about, that's a binyan keva. Not that that's not allowed. It's not allowed on Shabbat. It's not allowed in Yantav either. Okay? That's also the Raisa. That's bona. Okay? But binyan arai, this thing with the bathroom, is just, now he's using it. Right? It's a binyan arai. It's not intended to be there permanently. That binyan arai lo asur Torah. The Torah did not prohibit that. The Gazu Rabbanan of Binyan Arai Mishum Binyan Keva. The Rabbanan said you shouldn't build a Binyan Arai, even a temporary structure on Shabbos. Oyantiv Otto, Zera Otto, you might build a permanent structure, but Bahacha, here with the bathroom case, Mishum Kvodo, Gazu Rabbanan, it's a covered up Brias issue. Right? The person is a privacy itself, it's a covered up Brias, the Rabbanan word goes in. What emerges from this sugyan beitza, again, we don't have to go through every detail, what emerges from this sugyan beitza, Okay, that if it's only a binyan arai to begin with, it's only asur rabbanon. And that goes back to the Morning Shabbos Kufal Amid Ches, which is in source 9. All a kevel lo yase. Right, the whole isur bona is to build something that's a permanent structure. Midoraisa, midrabbanon. You also shouldn't build something which is only for temporary structure. But because we're covered on brios, in this case, God needs you to bathe him. So that they allow it, right? Rashi says, no matter binyan arai, again, it's a base on base on base. Binyan arai, she'eno l'skayim. It's not intended to be permanent. You know, using it right now, then there's no use for it anymore. So hafak of a base akise, this case of a base akise, mishum kavod abrius lo gozer, right? The Rabbanan weren't gozer. So the Rambam paskins in two places in Shabbos, okay, let's look at source 12, two places in Shabbos, peregudal of Yigimel, ha'ose oil kavua. Hareza told us bone and b'chayim, right? Someone makes some sort of a permanent oil, so a permanent structure. Again, oil, by the way, again, with the roof and everything. So, Hareza told us bone and b'chayim. That's under bone and b'chayim. Okay? Later on, that's Parak Yud Alok Yud Gimel. Parak Chav Bey is Alok Chav Zayin, the Rambam says in 13. Ha'osa ol kavu ha'chayim b'shim bone. L'fichach, ain osin ol arai l'chadchil either. Below sosin, the opposite of bone is sosin, destroy something. That's another one of the third eye malachas. The heads and tails are the same coin, but different malachas, right? Below sosin, all right. Zera, shema yasa, yistar, ol kavu. It's not the Rambam passing the halacha. And midrabanan, it's also even for an ol kavu. Okay? Now, so that brings us back to our sugi here, which is what was Yochanan Rabbi Loi, who was asking the lezer, okay, what he's going to do is he wants to spread a sheet over the top of the sukkah. Well, you know, is that a problem? It's not meant to be permanent. You can take it down. He just wanted it there to block the sun. But the problem, the question is that mutter, was it mutter for him to do that? That's basically, now you have the background, right? If you look here in sukkah, I printed it for you, it's in the back of the Gemara's, Tosefta in sukkah, Parak Aleph Alofa Hey. Okay? The Tosefta, you know the Tosefta, the Tosefta, the best English translation is addenda. Okay, and Tosefta is, we all know that, let's backtrack a second, we all know that the Mishnah was compiled by Rud HaNasi. Why the Mishnah was compiled by Rud HaNasi? Approximately the year 200 of the Common Era. So, you know, this is not something Rud HaNasi did one Sunday afternoon. I mean, this was a big job. Okay, we don't know, we have not on record as to how long it took. Rud HaNasi compiled, he gathered everything, you know, that all would have previously been in the category of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Some people had things privately written down, by the way. Things were written. Some people had notebooks, and maybe other people had things they wrote down for themselves. But if Rud HaNasi, why wasn't it written down in the first place, by the way? Like, why do we need Torah Sheba'al Peh? Why do we write everything down? That's not an interesting question. No? Well, why not? Why was Torah Sheba'al Peh not written down in the first place? Now, it's an issue to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, so why? What was the reason? So, again, aside from the fact that it makes the Torah too heavy to lift, okay. Because you have all the din and it's impossible to do Hagba, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the Torah should not become like a reference work. Okay? Before, in the era before computers, this is a side point, but I think it's important to know. In the era before computers, if you ever walked into, or maybe still, I don't know, walk into a lawyer's office, okay, or a doctor's office, they had shelves of volumes. Today you can access everything online. Now, one of the jobs of a lawyer, he had an assistant, or we call it an intern, and so on. So you want to find, well, there was a similar case in 1977 in Kansas, you know, so he looks up that case. Well, you ever go to the father's had rows. Today, it's easier, you just search. Okay, it's all digital. But at one time, same with the doctors, they would have every year, this big, my wife's in the medical, so this big fat book would come out with different, you know, how to diagnose certain things, whatever, you know, physicians, desk reference or something like that. Again, today it's all online. But most lawyers and doctors, when did they use those books? They didn't study them. When did they use it? Yeah. When a particular case came up, it was relevant to look up. So, because Rome didn't want that happening to the Torah. Right? The Torah should be on the shelf somewhere. And when I have a shaila, what to do in the kitchen, I'll go look it up. Right? So, because Rome created such a Torah that there was a necessity to have a Rebbe, to have a parent, to have a grandparent, to have someone else to go to, learn before you, to ask. And that keeps it alive, right? It keeps the discussion going. It's not just a reference. The Torah is not meant to be referenced. That's the idea of Torah's time. The Torah is not meant to be a reference book that I'll just look up when I have a particular shaila. Okay, so it had, and that's why there's so many gaps in the Torah. There's so many things we don't understand just reading the Torah, and we just had Rosh Hashanah, so we know. I mean, one of my grandsons was surprised. He was in the shul for a little while when I was going to drush. I mentioned that, of course, the word shofar is not in the Chumash with regards to Rosh Hashanah. You know, and he was surprised to hear that, really. You know, I said, when is the first time shofar is mentioned? So he said, well, okay, I said, well, never says the word shofar by Kiddush Yitzchak. You know, it says with a ram, it has horns, it's got cool. Anyway, so every kindergarten student, or younger, nursery school student, knows that the instrument blown on Rosh Hashanah is a shofar. But then it says in the Chumash. Maybe I could blow a bugle. A trumpet or a ram's, a French horn or something like that. Who says that's to be a shofar? So we know. So how do I know? How do you know? You heard it from your rabbi. You heard it from my rabbi. You heard it from your father. You heard it from your mother. Right? That's Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. That way, everybody, even a mitzvah so basic shofar. I like to tell a story. When I was in there, as you saw, in the 1970s visiting. So at that time, the Sinai was part of Eretz Yisrael. And given it to Egypt. They later gave it to Egypt as part of a peace treaty. But at that time, Sinai, which they had captured in 1967, so there used to be these tours. You could take a tour to the Sinai. It was like a camping trip. So I was a teenager. I don't know, 16, so I forgot exactly what year it was. But my family knows it all. So my parents found in some, tour guidebook that they were having a kosher trip. They were leaving Yerushalayim on Sunday, coming back Thursday night, 4 days in the Sinai, and see all the sights and so on. And they're bringing for the camping type trip, bringing food along, and so it's all under proper supervision, etc. So my parents signed up, so we went. So, for each day we had a camp in a certain place, So before, obviously, in the morning, morning afternoon, we dachin, and the morning put on its phone, had a minyan. So it happens to be that there were five Dutch college or graduate school students, Goyim, Protestants, who were on the trip. They signed up. They didn't care if it was kosher food, not kosher food, but they saw the thing, the advertisement. They joined. So they wanted to see also, I think three boys, two girls, I think, whatever it was, they were religious Christians visiting the Holy Land. So it just so happens that my father lived in Holland during the war. His life was saved in Holland during World War II, during the Holocaust, so he speaks Dutch. So he kind of willy-nilly became their, the guide spoke in Hebrew and English, but the guides were not speaking Dutch. But, and they understood a little English, they understood English, I guess they understood, but it was very helpful to them to have somebody who spoke fluent Dutch to talk to them, and he explained certain things to them and so on and so forth. Okay, they were very nice, they were extremely respectful. The last day, it was Thursday morning, and they had their Bible with them. Again, they were religious students. They were, religious Christians, Protestants, and they had their Bible with them because when they saw certain places, they looked up whatever was in their Bible, So the last day, they came to my father after we finished Shacharis and asked him very respectfully. They said, "We see you pray three times a day, and okay, but what's these black straps and boxes? Never seen before." And truth of the matter, if you think about it, someone's never seen it before, it does look a little strange. They never heard of it. They never saw it. What is that? My father said, you have your Bible? Get me your Bible. So he showed them, and the Bible was in Dutch. So he found the Pesukim in Kriyat Shema. That's what it is. That's an arm. They heard of the verse, but had no idea that it meant tefillin. Why? Because it doesn't say tefillin. It doesn't say black. It doesn't say box. It doesn't say straps. All right, we know tefillin because of what? Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. Right, you don't have the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. You can study the Torah Shel Ksav, says we can study the written Bible, and and get a pretty good idea about a lot of things. But there's a lot of gaps. That's the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh, right? So it's an amusing story, but it illustrates the point I think very well that even somebody familiar with the verse might not. Anyhow, getting back to here, so the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh sort of fills in the gap, so to speak, that the Torah Shel Ksav. Intentionally leaves out. Eventually, Rabbi Nosi wrote it down because, it was going on in the year 200. It was a little over 100 years since the Korban HaBayis. Okay, so Jews were scattered around. It was the rise of Christianity, right, as a religion. Persecution of the Jews, they were thrown out of Yerushalayim altogether. The Bar Kokhba rebellion had failed, about 50 or 75 years before then, and so on. said, well, Adriana persecuted, it was a very bad time for Jews. And Yehuda Hanasi, he made that decision, you better write it down. So he wrote it down, that's the Mishnah. Now, that's why, by the way, even in the Mishnah, there are a lot of gaps in the Mishnah, too. All right, Yehuda Hanasi wanted to preserve that need, so to speak, for a Rebbe, for Tosh Valpeh, but write down more than it had written down before. The Tosefta is from Tanoim, things which Yehuda Hanasi, for one reason or another, did not include in the Mishnah. But the Tosefta is from the time of the Mishnah. And the Tosefta is printed in the back of the Mishnah. The Brisa is also in the time of the Mishnah. The Brisa aren't gathered anywhere. In fact, the word Brisa means, the Aramaic Bez ratio means outside. Like Brisa means that which is outside. It's not collected in any, it's not collected in the Mishnah. It's not collected in the Tosefta. You look at the Tosefta and the Brisa, the same speakers, the Yehuda, the Meir, the Shimon, the same Tanoim that we see in the Mishnah. But the Brisa means it wasn't collected anywhere. It was out there. People knew it. Talmidim knew it. It was the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda. It was the teaching of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, whoever it was. But it was not compiled in any organized fashion. So Tosefta was compiled in an organized fashion and appears in the back of Rabbi Sefer. It's funny. People sometimes are confused about it. Brisa, it's outside these structured texts that we have. Doesn't mean it's any less authoritative. Okay, that's why sometimes in more ways. How can the Mishnah say this? This tier from Brisa says the other way, right? But Brisa is also all from Tanaim. So Tosefta is all from Tanaim as well. So here in Sukkah, that preamble, let's look in the 14th. Here in Sukkah, Parak Aleph Halacha Hey, the Mishnah says, Tosefta says, Modim Chacham Belezer, She'ein Osin Olam Ketchila B'yomtev, Ve'ein Tzarklomer B'Shabbos. Okay, this is important now. Chacham or Modim Belezer, that you don't make a fixed Oel on Shabbat, on Yomtev, and certainly not in Tzarklomer, certainly on Shabbos. Or Chacham Omerim, but the Chacham say, Mosifin, if you already have the structure, and now you're just adding to it. Okay, you're just adding to it. It's already there. You're just adding to it. Then the Chachamim say it's Mosif and B'Shabbos. Ve'ein Tzarklom V'Yontav. It's certainly on Yontav. So now we're introduced by this Tosefta to a new here in Sukkah by us. It's Parak Aleph Halacha Hey. This is a Tosefta here in Sukkah. Okay, and it's going to tell the story that we just saw in the Gemara, more or less the same way. All right. So we have a Machlokas, it was in the Chachamim. The Chum is saying Mosifin. So Navigat of the Tosefta says, Maisa Rebbe Lezer, Shalom Mesa Besukos, Yochan Ben Eloi, our case, because I own, Behigia Chamal Sukkah, Amalo Mal Lufres of Asadin, Amalo, Enoch Hakol Shev, Shem, and Sosal Hemet Novi, Higia Chamal Chati Sukkah, a slight variation, more or less the same as we have in our Gemara, right? Higia Chamal Chati Sukkah, Amalo Mal Lufres of Asadin, Amalo, Enoch Hakol Shev, Shem, and Shofe, you know, Shev, Yehud, we know, Hemet Malach, Pinavian, So again, the Tosefta is more or less like our slight variations here and there. But anyway, so this is the issue now. But notice that the Tosefta presents it in the context, and Tosefta presents this story that our Gemara records in the context of a discussion regarding an OL and adding and so on and so forth. So that's an important point to bear in mind. If we see it spelled, we look in the Gemara in Shabbos, another Gemara in Shabbos. That happens to us 15. Kuf, Chaf, Hey, on Beis. Omer Rabba Barba Chana Omer Yochanan. Hakol Modim, everybody agrees. She'ein Osin Oel Arai, okay, B'tchila B'yomtev. Ve'ein Tzorach Lomar B'Shabbos. It's certainly not on Shabbos. You can't make an Oel Arai on Yomtev, and certainly not on Shabbos either. An Oel Arai, Rashi says. What is Oel Arai? She'ein Osin Oel Arai. Look at 16. Again, Rashi and Shabbos. Kuf, Chaf, Hey, on Beis. Shainos and all right. Lifros machatzeles al arba machitas, al arba kundesim, lios tsel lo'ol minachama. You don't know what sukkah here. Okay, you have four posts for, like a chuppah. You have four beams standing up, or four posts, and you want to create the shade, so you're going to put some kind of a mat, some kind of a sheet over the four poles, and now you have shade underneath. Okay? That's not allowed. Okay, that's not allowed on Shabbos. But Rashi quickly adds with Dafka Gat. Here's that difference again. What's Usa here is the roof. That's what the oil is. It also has a roof, the covering. Ava Mechitza, Lav Oil. But just putting up a Mechitza, just putting up a wall, that's not an oil. Lav Oil. Okay? The Shori Lefarso Litznias. And you're allowed to put up, he goes back to that basic kisei case, right? You're allowed to put that up. You know, we're talking here about something that's arai. When it's kavua, that's the sort of, that's the raisa. If it's intended to be a permanent structure, we're talking here about something that's intended to be a temporary structure. Even this Yochanan ben Eloi just wanted to put the covering on the sukkah temporarily to block the shade. Later on, the sun's going to move in the sky vector, and then it's going to take it down. It won't be so hot, right? He wasn't intending it to be that a permanent structure, right? That's again, the reason I put the Tosefta in is to give you the context of the story, okay? That it has to do with the issue of oil, all right? So here you're spreading the thing on the top. But and it's only temporary. So nevertheless, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chaf Hei says that we don't do it on the Chet. We don't do that on Yom, certainly not on Shabbos. But Rashi throws in Abba Mechitza, just the walls, La Olo, B'Shar Lefaris Lotnis, because I'm in the Arabian, who did the Shmuel. Okay? And Upakaka Chalom de Mastis, in the opening of the window, in the case of the Mishnah, which we'll come back to, Mishum de Binin Kavua, who Mechitza Kimos of Albinin, that's by a Binin Kavua, and you're adding to a Binin Kavua, that's a different story. When it's only a Binin Arai, then it's Mutter. Okay? But, well, I'm sorry, it's Mutter if it's a Mechitza. Okay, as opposed to a god. That's why, by the way, on Shabbos, you know, let's say sometimes they want to make a minyan in the back, or the more people come, so you can put up mechitza in shul, like what we call mechitza in shuls. Okay, you're allowed to move them, and because that's for serious reasons. That's for, you know, that's not called a permanent minyan, and there's no oil, so it's mutter. Some shuls have partitions. So let's say whatever reason. More women showed up than expected. They had to reconfigure the shul or something like that. You know, or afterwards they had a minyan for mincha because there was a shevet bracha. Something they wanted to set. That's all mutter. You're allowed to put up a mechitza in the shul for that reason because that's for tzniyas purposes, right? So this, anyway, but now let's go back to 15. Okay, again, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chochem Beis. Amar Rav Chana Rav Yochanan Kol Modi Sheino Sa Arab B'Tir B'Yotim Yitzar Kol B'Shabbos Lo Nechaku El Lahosif. The machlok is even a binyan arai, okay? Even a binyan arai, if it has a roof, that you're not allowed to do on yantif either, okay? If it has a roof, actually, distinguish between a roof and a mechitza. Yeah, then you're not allowed to do on yantif, and certainly not on Shabbos either. Where's their machlok? Says the Gemara. Lo nechlok el lahosit. Let's look at the last line of 16 on the page. Rashi lahosit. Kigom. Shahoya machtsela prusalo. Machtselas prusalo. Vikrucha v'nishar ba'avir. Okay, ulamachar post to do the bakak the mosif ba'almahu. You have a sheet, but it's sort of crumpled up, or it's not full. It's folded. I want to tighten it. And there's air getting through. There's sunlight getting through. Whatever. It's already there. It's already spread out. It's already partially on. And I'm just pulling it further on. Okay, it's already there. That's called mosif. So that's a machlokes. Lo nefa hosif. Shabbalezer Omer Ein Mosif Biyamtiv Ein Tzarach on the Shabbos. Shabbalezer's Machmer. That's his Shita. Okay, that's, you know, that he's Machmer. You can't put that up. Even if it's already there. Okay, even if it's already there. Ein Mosif Biyamtiv. Okay, but Ein Tzarach on the Shabbos on the Shabbos. But for Chachamim Omer Mosif on the Shabbos, you're allowed. No, even on Shabbos you're allowed to. It's already there. You're just adding. Okay, you're just adding to something. So then, again, to what a binyan arai, you're just adding mosif mishabbos in tzarach lomar beyond. So that's the machlokas in Shabbos. So lechora, that's what's happening here in our sugya, which means the way the Rashi learns, okay, and the way we've been sort of presenting it till now, the issue here is a Shabbos issue, okay, a Shabbos nyontif issue as opposed to a sukkah issue. Right, now, everything we said now, this whole discussion, this whole problem of Elezer and the Sukkah and his friend Yochanan ben Eloi, whatever, in the Galil. So the issue was a Shabbos issue, right? As Rashi says, let's find the words. Look again with this background. The Rashi did a maskul ma'u she'efros aleh sadin. Litzel. It's not a sukkah question, it's a Shabbos question. That's what this person was asking the lezer. Can I put this, you know, this sheet or this mat over the sukkah? Okay. Is that a problem? Mosif al olarai b'shabbos or not? Okay, that's basically the essence of Elazar. Okay? However, it is important to see in this connection, we turn now to the back, way back to the Yoram and Aleph. Here in Sukkah. Yoram and Aleph. Source 17, but it's where I am. Type it out because you have it here. So let's look back in Yoram and Aleph. There we see a mission towards the bottom of the page. Now this is a Sukkah's question. It's not a Shabbos and Yom question, but a Sukkah's question. Pireis olea sadim b'necham. If you spread over your sukkah a sheet, because to keep out the heat, to create shade, o tachtel mipnei haneshem, or you spread the sheet not over the top of the sukkah, over the schach, like people have what they call a shlok, you know, to get the rain out or whatever. So you put this sheet over the top, right? You spread it out over the top to keep the sun out from beating down. It creates additional shade. Or underneath, you know, the problem is not so much the heat or the sun, but the schach. The schach is branches, twigs, and you know, sometimes there's a lot of stuff that falls out of twigs and branches and lands in your soup. You know, it's just like, you know, different, I don't know what you call it exactly. I don't mean acorns, that's for sure, but I'm sort of, even like little particles, you know, that are on wood, even if you have bamboo, sometimes there's little things that accumulate, and then eventually it gets a little windy, not even strong wind, a little wind knocks it off, these things come, you know, dripping down, lands right in your food, right? So this person had a problem, there were more than this twigs and junk coming down. Let's see Rashi over there, okay? Hanesher, shulu alin bekismin noshrin al shulchano, okay? You don't want these little leaves, or can just plain leaves, you know, leaves are falling down, leaves fall during the fall. Right, so leaves are coming down and falling off, and it lands on your food, it's upsetting. So what he did was this guy put the sheet under the schach. Right, he put the sheet under the schach, so whoever fell down would land on the sheet. Okay, not only did it, later on he shook it out and cleaned it, right? That's the lumbus. So you're not allowed to do that, okay? Because it says in the Mishnah, you don't know, Pirish on the side of Nechama, O Tachdem, and Nesher, O Shapirish, Pires really spread like and tears with the sabbath, some sort of a sin, like a frozen line of sukkah shalom. And an osha pires agave a kinuf, psula. Kinuf is a canopy, same word, a canopy. Kinuf, canopy. You know, sometimes you have these fancy beds. If you go to a museum, these fancy beds, the queen, or, you know, they have a bed, they have this covering over the bed. Right, you know what I'm talking about? The canopy over the bed. No, the canopy over the bed. So it's for decorative purposes. It's fancy. It's fancy looking. Okay? You know, the rich people, the princess has that. Right? So you have that inside the sukkah. So now you're not sleeping under the schach. You're sleeping under that canopy. Okay? It's not to keep the sun out. It's not for leaves. It's just, you know, that's how Rashi said. Well, we'll read the rest of the previous Rashi in a second, but look at the Rashi in the Mishnah, Osha Pierce, out of the end of Klomar. Oh, I feel a low pierce from that Nesher, a little annoyed. No, it's almitasa. It's there for decorative purpose over your bed. Okay, al gabe kinuf Rashi explains. Hey, dalad kundisa l'dalad ragle amito. Okay, ugvohin umaneach klunzos mizel azel al gabe no frosos sadim marchikem in aschal. Okay, so we're going to leave out the end of Rashi. Come back in a second. So like you have posts, the bed posts are extended on all four corners, and you hang a thing over it. That's the kind of thing. Okay, Rashi explains what it is. What's the issue here? So it says the mission. All these cases psula. Okay, psula, it's not allowed. Now this is a sukkah question. Then it says avopores agave naklite amito. Naklite are the sides of the bed. You want to basically put up something that's more like a teepee. It's not a roof. It's an angle. It's like you have something in the middle. Right? Rashi says naklite amito she'ena el shnayim. One is by the head of the bed, and one by the foot of the bed. You have it like this, you know. It's like a teepee. Okay, that's a lot. Okay. That's not going to call an oil because it's never got no roof. Okay, it's because it never has a roof. It's angled. It never has a tefach of a roof. Meets to the top. And what's the issue here? Again, this is Sukkah. Now let's go back to that first Rashi. I'm sorry, second Rashi. I'm sorry, the first one. He doesn't want leaves and twigs, you know, falling off the tzchach into his food, okay, into the sukkah, onto his table. V'sadin dover mekabotumahu, posel tzchach, he'll come on. One of the rules about tzchach is it has to be something which is in a mekabotumah, okay, and sheet is a clothing, it's mekabotumah. So this sheet itself is invalid tzchach. And lemaisa, if you're now putting this sheet over the tzchach, or even under the tzchach, either way, your tzchach is now has material which is invalid for tzchach. That's the problem. Okay, that's what Rashi said, because it's not mekabel tumah. I'm sorry, because it is mekabel tumah, excuse me. Okay, tzchach has to be the dover shein mekabel tumah. V'sadin dover mekabel tumah, u'posel tzchach. Okay? Now, the canopy case, Rashi says, that's not the issue, because the canopy is far removed from the tzchach. Okay, the canopy is a different issue. That's what the other Rashi says. Al-Gavei Kinuf, right, he says, in the second half, he says, Hashto lav mishum tzchach mesachek b'doma kabotumah mishum d'hol lav l'schuchei shtocha osam. With the canopy case, they have a bed, okay, and the canopy is over the top of the bed, but the tzchach is much higher. You're not putting it up. It has nothing to do with the schach. I just put up a decorative erase to the bed. So it's not possible because it's schach possible, but rather, psua, mishu the enu yoshu the sukkah, the all mafsi penim. It's like you're not sitting in the sukkah, because you have another structure that you're sitting under, namely the canopy. Okay, so I don't talk so much about the canopy now, but that's the sukkah in the sukkah that Yoram and Allah. So let's take a look at Tosas now. Pireis ala sadin nechama. Okay? Kosav b'tshuvas hagadol. What I just told you is Rashi. Okay, we just read the sugya of Rashi. But Tosfos quotes in Masechta Pirkos. Look at Yudam and Alav. Kosav b'tshuvas hagadolim. Hod the kasoni pirs al esad nechama otachtem neneshu psul. Heicha the chamto merub b'tzilta below sadin. He said. Now one of the other rules is that the schach has to be such that there is more shade in the sukkah than the sun. Silta, the shade, silta, shade, meruba, mechamto. Right? They can't just put two pieces of bamboo on top of the sukkah, because then you have more sun in the sukkah than shade. You have to put it in such a way that it's silta, meruba, mechamto, that the schach, result is that there's more shade than there is sun where you're sitting or lying down in the sukkah. Okay? So the Gaonim said, this issue here is, what's the problem? We're talking about where, without this sheet that you're putting up, it's chamta merub mitzilta. It's no good. The schach, the branches, the bamboo, or the mat, or whatever you have up there, okay, is by itself chamta mitzilta, without the sadin. Okay? And the sadin, therefore, is contributing to the schach. So now you have a problem, because part of your schach is what? Like Rashi said, it's not puzzle. Right? It's dovash shema kabotuma. So part of your schach, since you needed this sheet to have the result of tziltum or b'chamta, so now part of your schach is schach pasul. Okay, and that's the problem according to the Gaon. Avol im yesh tziltum or b'chamta ksheira ve'ein asadin posalta. But if your schach is fine, your schach is fine. You have tziltum or b'chamta. There's plenty of bamboo, plenty of branches, plenty of mats, whatever you're using. Okay, and now you just want to put that. It's okay. Then it's fine. He says, the sheep doesn't pasul. Behind the kamosh parashalel, the ain mitzdarif schach pasul, behadis schach kosher. We don't combine and view this all as one big package, combining the schach pasul and the schach kosher. Came with the low pasul, tzilta, meruba. Because even without the schach, we can disregard the schach pasul. It's not necessary. It's not necessary, not needed for the heksha sukkah. Okay, the low posel tilt the ruba. Uche inya nazeh, before he went to Tom, mibne achama shumi abeshes es aschach, umitoch kach nase chamta ruba. And that's the case over here. The sun is drying up the schach, so it falls apart, and the result will be that nase chamta ruba. Vichein takhtea mibne anesha. The same thing, you know, with the second case in the Mishnah, which has the sheet underneath, you know, to catch any falling leaves, twigs, and other junk. What's happening? Too many of the sticks, too many twigs are falling, So as a result, the yischach has fallen apart. You're having less than, I think twigs, leaves fall. By the time you finish, everything falls down. So you're left with a yischach that's chamtam rumitzilta. But a sudden, modem alipo, the sheet is presents them falling down. Because the sheet is what's necessary to contribute to make sure there's more shade than sun, it's possible. Okay, but that's not what Rashi meant. Like, that's not what Rashi meant. Okay, Rashi didn't say it had to be dafka case where Rashi implied that even if by itself there was tzach v'tzach kosher, the moment you put the sheet over it, it's no good. And Tosafot says, the pirush Rashi kosher. The longer you puzzle, when it should make it a lot more chava than a kismin. Okay, why should we puzzle? According to Rashi, you don't need it. You have schach kosher, right? So you have a sufficient amount of schach kosher. So Tosafot says it's difficult. A pirush kosher is kosher. The longer you so should make it a lot more chava, or mina kismin. You're just protecting yourself from the beating sun or from the falling sticks. My shna, I don't know. So why is it any different than something put up for decorative purposes? But, oh, now here's a point that I want to mention. Tosus refers to our Gemara. But oh, what's the common parakayoshin? Our Gemara, that Chazan Beis, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loi, kishigia chama magos, Amar uparis alav sadin. The Gemara now, it's true that Boaz walked out, but he thought it was okay. So my point being that what we have the way Tosus is by bringing up our Gemara, okay. Our Gemara viewed it as was a Shabbos question, a Mosi Ba'olah question. It wasn't the Hechsher Sukkah question, right? From here, the Sugya and Daf viewed it as a Hechsher Sukkah question. Okay, let's take a look at the Ritva in there on Daf Yud, source 20. Masnis and Pirus al Asad Nechama Tachem Nechshu Pesul Rabbeinu Zalmefarish Pirus al Asad Nechama Kadesh Shetein Nechsheres Al Yudei Hasadim. The sadin was made a kosher. Kibetchila ha'isat tiltum urechamta. Im tagena chama tisyabesh. But now the sun is drying it up. V'tiyah chamta meruk mitzilta. V'nimtzah kiyuma v'achshera that sadin. She'en amanichal isyabesh. Right? It's preserving the sky. V'chein tachten me'anesh. The same thing. Like Tosin. Ha'ina shol yiplu ha'olin. The leaves should fall in. V'usei chamta mitzilta. So many leaves fall. After a while, you won't have much chocolate. But believe me, high sheets of variety, they love riding. Can the Bible ever come on? I don't think that's what's going on. The Masnis and the Hocha Kipashti, can it finish Rashi? The Ritva agrees with Rashi. The Pasha Pshat, this Mishnah is, Shaisa Sukkah, Tziltum and Mechamta. The Sukkah was kosher without the sheet. Who pierced the Sadin Kalei, Shadol Tikonis, Bochama, Kral. You just want additional shade. Then Psula Mishum Sukkah, Chapas Ilan. It's like a Sukkah under a tree. Because it has to be, and that's how the Ritva learns, that's how Rashi learns, and that's how the Summa Halacha, that the shade that you have is produced by the Tzach and not by something else. The shade has to be produced by the Tzach. Okay? Yeah.
Doesn't sound like Tosfos thinks that our Gemara is a super question. It seems like he's bringing outside right from the fact that he didn't object to it because of this.
No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, right.
I mean, even the fact that he walked out, that's not because of Sukkah.
That's because of Shabbos.
The fact that because this thing he didn't hear from his rabbi. This thing he could have brought up.
Right.
He didn't bring it up.
I think Vakir, the fact that he walked out into the Shabbos question, the fact that the other guy did it, it wasn't a Sukkah question. I think you're right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the Ritva. All right. And he says, so again, basically, the base of Machokas is, what, a Daf Yud, not by us, but Machokas, the Mishnah Daf Yud, which obviously relates to our question, but the Machokas is, according to the Ritva, like Rashi, he says that Ahokah Kapashli appears Rashi. So I saw Sukkah, Tzilta Merchan, the Sukkah was kosher without the Sadin. And he just put the Sadin, so now it's like Tzilta Tavlin, Tachas Ilan, Nafagav, Velosi, Sadin, Hila, Olam, Tzilta Merchan. Even without the sheet, without this extra mat, there was Tzilta Merchamta. Do with the Pirush al Gabakina, the Katzon of Hadosh, and Tzel Asad, and Mevatos, HaChasofa. That's a different problem. The shade is not being generated by the Tzchah. It's not that you needed this for the Hechsher Sukkah, but the fact that you have, like in the canopy case. The canopy case, what's the problem with the canopy? Nothing to do with the Tzchah, it's perfectly good. But you're not now, the shade that you're under is not because of the Tzchah, it's because of something else. But it's not a matter of the Tzchah possible. Now, by us, okay, the Ritva asks, Harabon, yeah.
In this Ritva, it seems to be saying that he's trying to say that Rashi, although he's holding its Hilchot Shabbos, it's on Sukkot.
Right. Very good. So that's what I mentioned now. Because clearly, the way Rashi learns, in other words, yes, that's what emerges in this with Vav, is that it was a Shabbos of Sukkot.
Right.
It was a Shabbos of Sukkot.
But we could say that that Rashi and Tosfot are talking about totally different cases.
Yes. Yes. Okay. But again, let's look now at the Ritva. The Ritva in Sukkah, okay, on Chavzayin with days. Tana Rabbana Ma'aseh Rulezer Sheshomas Pesukoso Regel Acher Hava. Okay. It wasn't Sukkot. That's what the Ritva says. The Ritva Ba'at Sir Chavzayin. Look at 21. It wasn't Sukkot. There's no Sukkot. See, Rashi, if we think about it now more carefully, the way the Ritva said over there, it was the Shabbos of Sukkot. That's it's almost like, did Rashi say it specifically? I mean, it didn't quite say it here by us in Chavzayin. Rashi doesn't quite say it, but again, the flow of the sugya, certainly the Ritva learns Rashi and so on. Yes, it was the Shabbos of Sukkot. Okay, so you don't disregard this the Sukkah question. According to Ritva, at this point in the Gemara, at this early point in this early stage of the Gemara, later on, look at the words of Ritva, Regel Achar Hava. They were just eating outdoors. That's all they were eating. It wasn't Sukkot. Okay, because we already know, the din of Sad and the Sukkah from Daf Yud, right? That's not what's going on here. Okay, it was regular another Yontif. He went to visit for another Yontif, and they ate outdoors because it was a warm day. I mean, we just had Rosh Hashanah was 5 degrees, right? So if a person had a canopy outside, some kind of, and it happened to be a Sukkah, it was some kind of an outdoor place. They ate outdoors because it was comfortable to eat outdoors. Upirish a priest of Sad and the boy of just a Shabbos question, exclusively. At this point, the Ritva says the Gemara assumes. And it's what Rashi learned. What Rashi seems to learn is if it's connected, and Tosus also, I think Tosus there on Daf Yud links the sugya over there with our Gemara, implying the Sukkot question, right? I mean, it was the Sukkot question as well as the Shabbos question. Certainly, according to Rashi, maybe you could go either way, but if you look in Tosus, by bringing up the end of Tosus there in Yudhavala brings up our Gemara.
So, how did Tosus do that? The Gemara comes down later on and says it's not talking about Sukkot.
No, it's the Hanuman. The Hanuman. Okay. But the Ritva says it's not even the Hanuman. He says regular Hanuman. Okay. That's we're only up on this stage. Okay, now you understand that it's really a little bit of machlokas rishonim. Certainly it seems to me anyway. Certainly the Tosus on Daf Yud, which brings up our Gemara in the context of the discussion over there. Daf Yud, the mission is clearly talking about Sukkot. I mean, it's a chapter mitzilta issue, right? There's a sadan and then chach pasul. So clearly a Sukkot issue, and Tosus brings up our Gemara. So Tosus understands at that point. Again, in the Havamina, at that point, Tosus understands that this was talking about on Sukkot. Before we knew that it was another time. But the Ritva doesn't seem to learn that way. That's all I'm pointing out, right? The Ritva seems to learn that it was on Sukkot. Nothing with Sukkot. Only exclusively. Maybe I didn't say this clearly before. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Tosus, by linking up the Sukkot Daf Yud with Aaron Gemara, is saying that it's a Sukkot question here, too. And the Ritva writes Regel Achar Hava. It was a different regel. It wasn't Sukkot at all. It's a purely Shabbos question. So I'm just going to finish up now. But today, the Aruch Lameir, the Gemara later asks Rabbi Lezer. We know Rabbi Lezer himself. Okay, Rabbi Lezer himself. We already saw that. I mean, if you look back in the sheets. Where is it? Look at the 15, Kuf Chav Ayim Beis, okay, Shabbos. Right, that's Lo Nechav Gal Hosin, Shur Belezer Omer Amos Im Yosef. We know Rebbe Lezer Shita. Right, about being Mosif and Olo. Right, we know his Shita. Tarach Laner wonders, Gemara wonders later, but Tiv Shalom Din Day. Okay, and what the Arach Laner questions is, why did they say that right away? What was the Miochan Abilai Hakim Rebbe Lezer about? And Rulez didn't want to tell him, because why? Because he never heard of his Rebbe. What do you mean? We know his Shita. We know Mr. Shabbos, his Shita is, you can't do this on Yom Tov. Right? Lechor, why didn't the Gemara ask that right away here? Gemara should ask right away, what's going on here? We know Rulez's Shita. Lechor, Miyad, Price, the other, Motzil Akshos came. Ba'al Hakim, Hak Kusha, she Kusha Mesnesen, the Shar Kusha, she mean Bryce's. They ask all the other Kashas, we'll see tomorrow. The Shar Chaner is later, but it relates to the Gemara here. Okay, the Gemara should have right away here asked, what do you mean? We know Rabbi Elazar Shita. Okay, so, and that's a strong point. B'nei Pasha says, Shalom, Rabbi Masha, he tells us, La'el, Daf Yod, the Raya Mehacha, the Mutu, Lifrosan, and Latzchak, Kishet, Tiltum, Rumechamto, Neged Rashi, Tosus brings the Raya there, Daf Yod, that it's Mutu to put a Sadin of a Schach, if the Schach is kosher already by itself against Rashi. Okay, Ayin Shalom, in Cain. I F Shalom by the Suffolk of Yochanan is Lo Hayalin and Shabbos Elin and Sukkah. Okay, at this point, we could have understood that Yochanan's kasha to Rebbe to Relezer at it was not a Shabbos question, but a Sukkah question. Maybe the reason why, in other words, we know Rebbe Relezer Shikta by Shabbos, right? The Shabbos Yontem question, but I could have learned the Gemara at this point. That it was a sukkah question, and he was asking, would it ruin the sukkah? Okay, I passed him like, realize it's a minority, so let's just say that, I passed him like the chachamim. You can put it, because it was a kosher. Now the question is it, you can't, because you're being mosik and not creative, right? And maybe Yochanan Meloy could have said, I passed him personally, not like you, but I love you, a great guest, I'm so happy to have you, but Lamai, so you're the minority view, so I pass the chachamim, it's mutter, to Moses on all right, just to be Moses on Yom. But I'm asking you now, Rabbi, what about if it's a sukkah problem? That's what I'm asking. In other words, it's a sukkah. That's how you could have answered. And there we can't say, but we could answer Beleza, but we don't know what Beleza holds by sukkah, right? That's the Rachman says. He's in Kenna, Epsilon, the suffering on loyalty in Shabbat, and in sukkah. Aval Acha, the Matar Tiloha, and sukkah, like you said, once the Gemara later said it wasn't sukkahs. Then Parak Shabbat Tishah Midday. Then it was only a Shabbos question. We should have known it. Beleza's his own Shita. We know from Shabbos. Avyeshem Oud Avim Mahadam Be'ervin Shemeleza Omer Ein Mosif Biyontan and Talk with Shabbos. I ain't Shom. I can sort of more to Be'ervin as in Shabbos. Hard with Shabbos. He can sort of trade less on Biyontan. Rock the Aruchana Amri Kamar Shem to Beleza Kamar Shom to Beleza Gam Biyontan Oser. Av Masnisin Al Kapana Lo Shomana Rock with Shabbos. You could say maybe only said it by Shabbos, and okay, that's a separate answer. Okay, maybe Sukkah, maybe Yom Tov is different than Shabbos. But I'm really more interested in the first answer, because that's built on the Tosis over there, bringing the Raya, like I told you, Tosis on Daf Yud, brings a Raya from our Gemara regarding Sukkahs. So Tosis clearly learns that it was on Sukkahs, to the point that Archonair says, maybe one could have had a Habamina, that the whole Shah was only a Sukkah Shah to begin with, right? But the Ritva clearly doesn't learn that way. The Ritva learns right off the bat, Regalach or Hava. There's never any Havamina that was, on Sukkah. It was only a Shabbos question, so on. That's why it came up that way. Anyway, I just wanted to go over that. Okay. And again, I wanted to understand a little bit about what the Malach of Bona is about, which I understand most of all. All right, it comes up. You know, that's why people say when they do have a shlock for the rain. Okay, that you should not take it completely off the top of the sukkah, but, you know, leave it in the corner or something, it's still a little bit on, it's the only mosif. Okay, have you ever heard that? People have these blue construction plastics or whatever that they put on it. I tried many times over the years to develop these all kinds of contraptions that never worked. Okay, I'll never forget one. I gave up. Okay. I just said, it never worked. I remember one time I had when I was still a buck, I was living by my parents, and I put up this whole plastic device, I got somebody said it was supposed to rain that night. I came out the next morning, all the rain had gathered in one place. We walk in the sukkah, it was like the plastic was down in the middle of the sukkah, filled with water. I thought my father was going to kill me. At home also, I tried, my kids would be fun of me, but it just never worked. The best way to do it, really, is to have something. It can be done. Okay, people do it. They have like a slanted thing so the water runs off. You know, you put it up. down and a slanted thing, and you know, you can get it. It can be done. I just, I'm not handy. And I stress the imagination. So this time of year, every Jew becomes a, you know, builder. You know, all the habit. I have a brother-in-law. Your father's he's an amateur builder. He's really, you know, he built his own kitchen and those kind of things. So shul. Yeah. So I remember when I first built the sukkah. So I didn't know from much about it. So he told me go to this store, buy this type of screws. And he gave me a list. So I gave it to the hardware. So what are you building? A suspension bridge? So but now I have a simpler situation. But Lamaisa, but people do have these plastic things. You leave a little bit on, or sometimes they recommend with the baby strollers that have those tops. You know, they don't close it all the way on Shabbos. That's probably an OL. You know, they leave it a little bit open. You don't turn it back all the way, you know, to the back of the stroller. You leave it on a little bit, and you can, you know, adjust on Shabbos. Anyway, but that's this part of the sukkah. Bezer Hashem, we'll finish up tomorrow. Okay, have a good day.